Nancy, I'm really thankful that you're joining me today for a conversation. And I just am remembering that I met you, or felt that I'd almost met you, when I first read your article in Dark Matter, Women Witnessing, and I thought, oh, I know that woman. And then, of course, we had the chance this summer to meet in person in Quebec at the Writer's Retreat with Lise Wheel and the others. So this, for me, is a real pleasure to dive in with you to explore the ways that both of us have learned to listen. And I thought it could be interesting for those who are eavesdropping on this call for both of us to talk about where we focused our intuitive listening initially, and then go from there and see where that training, that focused training of listening, has taken us, what has evolved from that. So I'm going to pass this over to you, my friend, and let you talk about your remarkable listening.
Oh, thank you, Andrea. It's really lovely to be sharing this conversation with you. And I had a similar feeling when I first encountered your work and your writing, and then meeting you in person, that we share a common language and a kind of a kindred spirit approach to the way we do our work and the way we move in the world. So I really appreciate the opportunity to have this conversation. You know, I think for me, when you asked that question about how we focus our listening, two things come to mind. One is that for me, I go back to my experience as a child and how I learned to hear, to listen, to understand animals, plants, trees, in what was a difficult experience of childhood. And I think a lot of people have this experience of, you know, really the ability to tune into and understand and be with and be present with and listen to others, whether of our own species or other species, is not something that that we need to learn. In other words, I think it's something that's innate in us, and it's our birthright. We come in with it, and then oftentimes as humans, our life experiences take us away from that. But you know, when you ask about learning to listen, I think back to those early experiences where I just hung out with my friends the cats, my friend the maple tree in my neighbor's yard next door, my friend the lilac bush, my friend the dog. And in that place of listening and being with, being present with, there was just an understanding that transcended the difference in our species and our circumstances and our lives.
Go ahead. I'm interested because your spectrum of what you listened to or what you felt deep connection with in your youth was so broad. It included the animals and plants and trees. Can you describe how you were impressed, you know, pressed in upon or open to these elements? Was it a sensory experience? Did you hear messages? Did you receive a quality of comfort or kinship? I'd love to hear more about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's actually some of all of what you just mentioned. And, you know, as I've really worked with this and honed this now, you know, over the years and working with it as an adult and helping other people to open their own sensing and feeling and understanding, I feel like looking back on those experiences as a child, I can see and feel that my awareness and my energy field was very open and porous. Mm. And so I just felt and I knew. And I, yes, at certain times received messages, but more often there was just a sense of knowing, of understanding, of feeling, of being able to slip inside another being's awareness and have an insight into what the world was like for them. Remember, that was a question that I thought about a lot as a young person. You know, as I looked out at the world through my human eyes and walked through the world with my human feet and felt the world with my human experience, I wondered and I think about, how do other beings perceive the world? How does the bird, you know, how does the bird see? How does my dog see? How does the maple tree, how does she feel? What's it like to be a tree and, you know, to live in one place your whole life and have these roots that go deep into the earth? And so I, you know, I used to think about this a lot, and I would start to, I started to learn to merge my awareness, I guess would be one way of saying it, and slip inside the other's perspective. And I think that was the deepest teaching.
So you never lost your child eyes or your child way of being and that open imagination. You didn't have to retrieve it. It stayed active as a child, because most children's experience is that it closes through education or just being dismissed by others as just your imagination. But with you, it stayed intact, and you developed it as a child, it sounds like.
Yeah, to a certain extent. I mean, there was definitely a time, you know, in my teenage years and in my young adulthood where it went very much underground for all the reasons mm-hmm. that you just described. But, you know, I think it's one of the gifts of difficulty and trauma is that I relied on that awareness, and I relied on that connection, and I relied on the ability to connect outside of the human world. You know, it saved me. So it's there definitely was a time in my life where I you know, put it kind of underneath, but it's true that it never went completely away. And I think that that's true for all of us, whether we're conscious of it or not. It's an ability that's always there, but it can be forgotten or it kind of get rusty from disuse.
Mm-hmm, for sure. When you are taking people into guiding them into doing their own listening and perceiving, can you talk a little bit about how you do that and where you do that? Because I know you take people on expeditions too. So,
one of the things that I like to help people understand from the very beginning is that intuitive or telepathic receiving, and sometimes the language that I'll use for it, can come in a variety of ways. And so, and each person is kind of unique in terms of how she or he receives and hears and understands. And so we can receive, you know, pictures, we can receive emotions, we can receive information and communication through our senses, you know, hearing, smelling, touch. We can also receive in that way that I talked about of just a knowing, like a complete understanding of the entire experience of another. We can, you know, for people who are really emotionally empathic, that will tend to be one of the ways that they learn to receive first. And so it's a matter of kind of capturing the information, the communication, the receiving as it comes in, and paying attention to it, noticing it. Most people find that a lot of what they're already naturally receiving, we kind of tend to blow past it in our culture, not really pay attention to it. And so it becomes a practice of learning how to stay still enough and open enough and aware enough to catch those things when they come and to pay attention and to not dismiss it or discount it. But, you know, you're walking and thinking of you and, you know, some of the work that I've heard you talk about, you know, listening to the plants or listening to the rocks and, you know, being open enough to stop and realize, oh, there's something coming in from this rock here. I'm gonna stay and really listen and really receive. So one of the ways that I think is most important for us as a human species to learn how to do this and to awaken or reawaken is just simply to slow down and be still and get quiet. And so, you know, when I'm working with other people in whatever capacity, that's one of the first things that we work with is just how to be present. To be present for ourselves, how to be present for another person, how to mm-hmm. be present, mm-hmm. you know. So I don't know if that quite addresses that thread that you were talking about, but I'd love to hear a little bit more about how that is for you as well.
Well, I didn't have that openness as a child, and I have two sisters and a brother, but one of my sisters told me just a few years ago that she actually saw fairies as a child, which mm-hmm. she never spoke about. But she is very, mm-hmm. she was very, very open as a child and continues to be as an adult. So like you, she didn't shut down those capacities. But I did as a child. I was much more centered on trying to grow up faster than I could. And so I didn't develop the sensitivity, even though we lived on Vancouver Island in a beautiful natural setting. So it made an impact on me, but I wasn't attentive to that impact. And it wasn't until I was in my 40s that I began to pay attention. And it was when I read Michelle Smallwright's book, Behaving as If the God in All Things Mattered, I was really interested in her approach to gardening, which was not top-down landscaping, but listening to the plants. And I was ready for a different kind of spirituality. So I tried doing that. I tried listening and, of course, didn't believe what I was getting, which was quite clear messages. They would come to me not so much in the feeling realm because my body was still shut down. My body hadn't learned to resonate and feel that. That was another leading edge for me. But I did get messages and I would write them down. I was faithful about that. But it took the years of practicing to tune in on individual plants for making the flower essences, where I learned to respect the phrases that I was hearing. And I remember one time, Nancy, I was tuning in on the allium plant, which is like a big ball of, it's an onion plant, but with a big purple ball at the top, like a constellation globe. And I heard that it was about ecstatic sexuality, and I just went, oh, I'm not going there. And the communication with the plant just stopped. It was like someone just zipped their lip, you know, the plant did. And I felt it. That one I did feel. And I apologized to the plant. I said, I'm sorry. You know, can we pick up the conversation again? And it resumed. But that was a dramatic experience of both hearing and then feeling and sorting out my reaction. Separate from what, and so I realized how non-judgmental, how deeply receptive I needed to be, and that these messages were stretching me, stretching my beliefs, stretching my mental, emotional capacities through the whole experience. And that's been profound all the way through. I don't think we listen and are not changed. We're deeply, deeply changed through this process.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's really, that's so beautiful and moving, and, you know, and I'm smiling at that alien's message, you know, and, I mean, and I, you know, and I'm thinking as I listen to you, Andrea, and knowing what I know about you, which is that you are a beautiful writer, and your writing is poetic and resonant, deeply resonant and rich and multi-layered, multifaceted, and it's not a surprise to me that the messages would have been, you know, the primary or the first way that you started to really receive, because that they came in a language that you're really able to translate and then flow back out into the world.
But that poetic thing was that developed in an interesting way, Nancy. I'll just share another story. Where I first learned to listen, beyond the veil, so to speak, was to the spirit of a daughter that I lost. She was 7 months in my womb, and she was a dwarf baby who had no lungs, so I knew she wouldn't live long, except on the umbilical cord when she was born. And that experience really split me open. This was back in the early 90s, and I, on counsel with a wise woman, she said, "This being wants to communicate with you." Well, I was feeling very shattered. So I began tuning in to her, my dead baby, essentially, and receiving messages. And she basically mothered me through a very broken time in my life where I had very little direction. And I only could trust this because I had actually had a physical imprint of her in my body, and that's where I knew I wasn't flying off into the ether with a spirit guide from some other remote planet. Not that there isn't value in doing that, but it took me so long to get into my body that I needed to be able to trust the wisdom coming through my body. Well, at one point, this being, her name was Tallulah Raven, which is why I call the Raven essences Raven, said to me, "Your head is too square. I can't get through to you what I need to. You need to write poetry." So I did for years. I would sit down and just let a poem come through, and that was a whole difference. It was more the right side of the brain coming through than the left side. And when I started making the flower essences, I had developed a more limber, flexible brain that was open to metaphor. And that was the language that the plants spoke to me through, was in metaphor and poetic. But that voice had been developed in the years prior to starting the flower essences. So I had to look back and say, "Oh, spirit or source, whatever, you really had a sense of humor to, you know, to set me up this way for this work." So
yeah,
we never know. Oh. We never know, do we? What, when we follow through on something, where it will lead, what it is preparing us for that we can't see.
Yeah, yeah. That's such a beautiful and moving story, Andrea, and you know, just feeling that partnership with your daughter and how that evolved and gave birth to the next steps for you. It's thank you so much for sharing that.
Well, she did mentor my listening, and then it moved to the plants. You know, and she said at one point, "Don't ever publish these things. That was just for you." You know, it was,
yeah,
it's not to show off, "Oh, look what I got from my spirit guide," you know.
Right.
it was training. It was growing something within me. And that was a practice too, to learn what was to be shared with others and what was to be held. And I don't know if you find that with people who get really excited about what they're starting to perceive and then they want to share it with everybody. Yeah. And there's something lost in that.
Yeah, there's a dispersal of the energy sometimes, you know, if we're not really conscious about the sharing and what's happening with it, it can kind of dilute the energy of it. And it's a process of discernment that each of us has to go through, just like you said, about really understanding and feeling into and discerning what is appropriate to share and what is appropriate to keep close. And, you know, in so many indigenous traditions, of course, this is common knowledge, and I think it's something that we can continue to learn from.
What would you say, and I know we're getting close to the end of this conversation, but where is your leading edge right now, Nancy, in your own listening? Where are you being called to, or how are you developing that? What is your listening serving now?
It's a big question. The short answer is, as you know, I have a deep connection with the dolphins and the whales, the cetacean beings of the planet, and they are some of my primary. I would say that is my spiritual lineage is really through them. They are my teachers. And so that's where I am spending a lot of time listening these days, because as we face this difficult and chaotic time on our planet, they have a lot to share and a lot to help us understand. And so I'm doing a lot of listening and a lot of traveling and journeying, both in the physical and in the non-physical realms, kind of as their deputized human servant.
And I know how loyal and faithful you are in that. I so respect the pristine relationship that you hold and how available you are to them. I really recognize and honor that, Nancy. So I know we have opened up so much through this conversation, and I look forward to having another one with you soon. So thank you for just dipping your toe in with me to this enormous topic of deep intuitive listening and the importance of that in these days. So thank you, my friend. We do speak a common language. We do.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Andrea.
Blessings to you, Nancy. Bye-bye.
You too.